Amen. Appreciate that singing this morning, and appreciate that good report from China. And, you know, I was thinking when he was going through that and telling what they had been through, and all they've been through. But then I was thinking about, you know, what he had to do before really he could do anything. And, you know, we go through obstacles when we do things for the Lord. But I'm going to be honest, I've never overcome an obstacle as difficult as learning Chinese. Probably none of y'all have come over an obstacle as difficult as simply learning Chinese. So when we have to overcome to do for the Lord, there's probably somebody that's overcome more than we have. And so many times we see an obstacle in front of us and say, oh, it's not God's will. We need to pray about that and make sure we're going where God would have us to go. We'll get into the message this morning. Title of the message is God's Three-Step Plan. And titled that to try to make it seem simple, because God's plan is simple. It's simple. And we'll get into the three steps of God's plan. I think it, now there may be some small steps in between these, but it's the three major steps of a Christian. And we're going to read John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. You can remain seated this morning, but John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let's pray again this morning. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come and preach your word. I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would be with us all the way from beginning to end of the sermon. And Lord, I pray that you would be with each heart in here from beginning to end. And Lord, leading and guiding each and every one of us today. Lord, if there be one here lost, I pray they'd be saved. And Lord, if there is a Christian here that could be encouraged through the word of God, I pray that you do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I've got some good news. My outline for today has more words in it than any outline I've ever written. And I know that y'all would really enjoy knowing that. Of course, if you're hearing your preacher, you know that your outline doesn't always hold you to how much you preach or not preach. Holy Spirit has something to do with that. But step one, three steps. Let's get into step one. And every one of us that's saved here know what that is. Get saved. The first thing we have to do on our walk with the Lord is to hear the gospel and actually get saved. This is a gift. Step one is get saved, and this is a gift. It's absolutely a gift. There's nothing ever been more of a gift than salvation. We read that verse that said, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. He did not charge you for his only begotten Son. He did not receive anything for his only begotten Son, but he gave his only begotten Son to a lost and a dying world, to lost and dying sinners, to lost and dying you and I. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's God's will. It's God's will that everyone here today be saved. I don't know that everyone is, but we do know that it's God's will. It's God's will that we all receive the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible leaves no doubt to that fact whatsoever. So how do we get saved? How do we receive that gift? Well, the Bible also makes that very plain. How to get through step one. Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we're all sinners. For all, God wants all to be saved. That same all has sinned. Everybody has sinned. I sin, you sin. We're all sinners. So we're all sinners. The Bible also tells us in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of that sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And it's not just talking about dying and laying in the ground. Everybody does that, but there's another death. We won't escape if the Lord tarries his coming. None of us in here will escape being put in the ground. We're going to die. This flesh is going to die. But there is a death that we can escape, and the Bible calls it the second death, a death where we are placed in a place that's called the lake of fire, an eternal damnation in a place called hell. So we're sinners, the Bible tells us. And the Bible says because we're sinners, the wages for that, what we have to pay for that, is to die forever in a place called hell. But the Bible also says, but the gift. Wow, that gift again. Thank God for the gift.
Amen.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have here death and life. Death is automatic. Life is a gift. We're all doomed to die unless we receive the gift. It's there, but you must receive it. I thought about this very point in my message when the brother was up here talking. I'm sure, brother, that when you were giving the gospel and you were telling them, and in your heart you felt they were getting close to being saved, and then they said, "We understand, but we don't believe." That's a terrible thing. Because knowing doesn't do it, but believing is what does it. It's not knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's a historical fact. Some people don't even believe that, but it's a historical fact. Some people don't believe the earth's round either, but it's fact. Jesus died on the cross, but knowing that's not going to get you to heaven. You must believe, and you must receive. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that Jesus was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God, that he was perfect, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the sin debt that we just talked about? Do you believe that? Will you ask him to forgive you for your sins and receive him today as your Savior? That's how you get saved.
Amen.
There's not two ways. There's not a thousand ways. As Brother talked about a while ago, there's not many gods. There's one God. There's one plan of salvation. There's one Savior. And one way to be saved. Make sure. Many times when you go out on visitation and ask people about being saved, yes. And to me, a quick answer of yes and no saying when or not telling anything about it, I begin to wonder. They've got that in their head. They know the right answer. When my grandfather asked me, "Have you ever been saved?" You know what I said? Yes. I was 13 years old. I knew the right answer. But I was lost.
Right.
I had to be saved. You must receive. My mama told me I got saved. Don't work. I repeated a prayer. Don't work. I've always been in church. Don't work. It's a good thing, but don't get you to heaven.
Right.
I live better than the people that go to your church. That's wonderful, but it's not going to get you to heaven.
Right.
My whole family's saved. My whole family's a Christian. Don't work that way.
Right.
None of these things I just said mean anything as far as getting saved. That's not being saved. A true profession starts with conviction by the Holy Spirit and then ends with the possession of that Holy Spirit. Step one, either you have or you have not completed step one. You have or you have not been saved. It is not a process. It's not something you put in a pressure cooker or a slow cooker and wait till it gets done. Either you have or you haven't. You've heard the gospel and you've understood it and you believed it or you didn't. And you believed it and you received it and asked Christ to save you or you didn't. That's the first step. That's getting saved. I hope everybody here today is saved. But if you're not, you can be saved today. You don't even have to wait till I get done. I promise you, if you come up here and say you need to be saved, we'll stop process. We'll stop what we're doing right now. And we'll have somebody take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. Now, we're going to give an invitation at the end. You can do it then. But you can do it anytime you want to.
Right.
Step two. You see, we've only got three steps. And I'm already through step one. Boy, but no, we're not a third done. No. Step two. Now then, you're saved. You're sure you're saved. You're going to heaven. Nothing can stop it. Now, become Christ-like. Become Christ-like. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Your relationship with Christ was sealed forever by the Holy Spirit the moment you got saved. That's one thing that helps you go continue on your Christian walk, because you never, ever have to worry about being lost again. You're saved. It's done. It's over. Sealed. You don't hold it. The preacher don't hold it. The church don't hold it. The Holy Spirit does. God does. You are saved. Now become Christ-like. Now you need to work on your fellowship with Christ. You know, the more two friends become like each other, the better their fellowship is. But don't work that way with Christ. It's not the way you become more like Christ and He becomes more like you. Know. It's the way that you become more like Christ. Christ is not going to change. He's eternal. He's always has been, and He always will be the way He is and who He is right now. We become Christ-like. Now, I said being saved is not a process, but becoming Christ-like is a process. It's a process. And I can tell you exactly how long it will take you the rest of your natural life. That's how long it's going to take. Now, I don't know how long that is, but that's how long it's going to take. The Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved. That's number two, Eagles. I've not been giving y'all the numbers. They have more of an outline than y'all do. I'm giving them a challenge. Number two is study to show thyself approved. Why do we need to study? Because there will be tests in life.
Sure.
You go to school, you don't study, you don't do too good. You go through life, you go through your Christian walk, you don't study, you're not going to do too good. There will be tests. And these tests are choices that God allows you to make with your life.
Right.
Brother Mark, when you toast, we got Brother Mark right here. Brother Mark, when you went to China, the Lord put on your heart to go to China, but He didn't make you go to China. He let you have a choice. He let you have a choice. He let you have a choice about your salvation. You chose to be saved. You have a choice to follow Him in what He tells you after you get saved. So you're going to have choices. So therefore, we need to study the Word of God that we make the right choice.
Right.
Which Bible to read? We need to know why we read what Bible we read. Because if we don't know why we do it, somebody else can change their mind.
Right.
If you're just doing something because you're doing it, somebody else comes along and they want to change your mind, pretty good chance they're going to change your mind. You need to know what Bible to read. Study. If you don't, you may fail the test. Which church to be a member of? Make sure you're in the right church. Study. Make sure you're in the right one, because if you don't, you may fail the test. Who to be friends with? Adults, you can tell teenagers, make sure you got the right friends. I'm going to tell you adults. Adults, make sure you got the right friends. Most of you have heard this before. You are, or soon will be, whoever your friends are. Who to be friends with? Study. If you don't, you may fail the test. Who to marry? Who to marry? Study. If you don't, you may fail the test. Now, I can't tell you who to marry, but if you're married to somebody, I can tell you to stay married to them. That's an easy one. That's an easy one. If you go by the Word of God, if you're married, you're supposed to stay married. Now, I'm not putting anybody down that has been divorced. I know people go through things. Decisions in your past that's happened in your past. But if you're married today, God wants you to stay married. So that's the reason it's important. That's the reason it's important who you marry Because God says, when you get married, stay married. There's a lot of decisions you make in life. Do-overs are very difficult. And sometimes do-overs shouldn't be done. Even, in fact, where to change jobs, what job to get. Teenagers, what job you get as a way to make a living. I know some of you, I think half of you work for Chick-fil-A. But, and that's a good job to start with. And it could be, if you get on up, maybe a good job to finish with. I don't know. But that's a choice you need to make. And you need to make sure, because if you choose the wrong one, it could actually lead you away from God if that's not where He wants you to be. All through life, we have choices. We have tests that God gives us. I wonder, that's not right. God says, I'm going to give them this opportunity, see if they'll follow me. If you follow Him that far, He's going to give you another test and another test and another test. When we start failing tests, we need to do some studying. We need to study the Word of God. I had an eighth grade teacher. When he said it, I didn't really think nothing about it. I don't really know why it stuck with me so long. He said, if you want to make a B+ or an A- on a test, study till you know it. If you want to make an A+, study until you know that you know it. So when we're studying the Word of God, and when we're asking God what choice to make, it's not just, well, that looks like the best. Well, it's not a multiple choice answer with God. There is one. And we don't just say, well, that looks like, that's a good way to go, I'll go that. No, which way does God want us to go? God's going to allow us to make choices in our life that later on down the road is going to put us in the position that He wants us to be in. That it's His will. Not His absolute authoritative dictation that's what you're going to do, but it's His will that's what He wants you to do. And when you don't follow His will way down here, it's going to be very difficult to get where He wants you. Then we need to pray for the peace of God. Number three, pray for the peace of God. There will be trials. Once you get saved, and as you are becoming Christ-like, there will be trials in your life. You will need the peace of God somewhere, sometime in your life. You say, I'm saved, and I've never had any trials. I'm going to say, you've been saved a week, 2 weeks. You know, you're still riding on the glory of God. You will run into trials as a Christian. You'll run into trials at your job. Even when you are on the job that God wants you on, you will run into trials. You will run into trials with friends even when you have the best of friends that God wants you to have. You will have trials in your family even when you've done everything you can to raise them and for you to live, do your part in living for God. You will have trials. You need the peace of God. Even when you get it right, you will have trials. You need the peace of God. You know, it helps not to fear something if you know it's coming. How many of you here has ever had somebody come up behind you, not even intentionally doing so, and speak and scare you? Thanks, Joseph. Now, my daughter's here, my wife's here, and they'll tell you, I don't know why, but they'll tell you, I don't scare very easily. Now, what I've done, I've just thrown the gauntlet down to give some of these kids try to scare me. And you might do it, maybe you'll be successful. But I'm going to help you. Don't let trials scare you, they're coming. Okay? Don't let them surprise you. They're coming. But if we have the peace of God, we're in good hands. In good hands. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the hard times are coming, but God will help us. Number four, we need to be faithful to church. Be faithful to church. Because there will be temptations that without church, you will fail. That's one of the reasons that God has given us a local church to be part of. To help us with problems out there in the world. To overcome the temptations that will come, you will need some help from your church family.
Amen.
You will need the love of your church family.
Yes.
I guarantee you there's three people in the hospital right now that
yes.
are glad they have the love of a church family.
Right.
The prayers of a church family.
Amen.
The fellowship of a church family. The friendship.
Yes.
And whether we like it or not, the accountability of a church family. We need that accountability. If all you have to stay right in front of is you, that's going to be a difficult job. We're still on step two, becoming Christ-like. All of Paul's epistles in the Word of God, all his letters, were written to churches or preachers or church members. They were all written to people in the church. And the book of Romans says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now that doesn't mean, here I am, Lord, it's Sunday, you got me all day, I'm sacrificing. No, today's not when you sacrifice. Today's when you worship. Today's for you. You ought to live the rest of the week for God. Today's when you get help. 1 Corinthians. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. After reprimanding the Corinthians early in the letter for allowing gross sin to continue in the church, in the last chapter, Paul rehearses their salvation. Now, in the first part of the book of 1 Corinthians, there's gross sin going on, and Paul let them have it pretty good. But when he got to the end, he reminded them they were saved. He reminded them of their salvation. He reminded them of their resurrection and their eternity, leading them back to the right foundation. He says, over here in the first part, he says, you've done wrong. This is what you need to do to get it right. And then he tells them where to be when they get right. In 2 Corinthians, come out from among them and be, or say it correctly, come out from among them, be ye separate. In the first letter, Paul dealt with the holy living inside the church. In the second letter, he deals with holy living outside the church. We could use some of that in today's world. We live right in here. That's easy, ain't it? That's easy. Put a tie on, dress up. If you ain't got a tie, put your good clothes on. Clean up real good. Come in, smile to everybody. Say, hello, brother. How you doing? Hello, sister. How you doing? Hope you're doing all right. I'm praying for you. I don't know much it's easier than that. But when you get out into the world, we're supposed to live just as godly as we do in here. Galatians says, do good unto all men as we have opportunity. I'm afraid that we take that as we have opportunity in the wrong direction. And because Brother Tolson's here, we can use China. I can't do much for the people from China. I don't have opportunity. That's not what the Bible's saying. It's not talking about the ones you don't have opportunity for. It's talking about the ones you do have opportunity to help.
Right.
So those that you do have opportunity to help, do good unto all of them. So we're supposed to always be looking for something we can do for somebody. Ephesians, submitting yourselves one to another. Put other church members' needs above your church, above your needs. Joy, Jesus, others, you, right? Philippians, being of one accord, one mind. Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And of course, you can look around, you see that on the walls. One mind, that's our theme this year. One mind as a church, body, working for the Lord. Colossians. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord. That sentence stands on its own. It doesn't mean something else. It means if you're doing it, do it heartily as if you're doing it for the Lord. 1 Thessalonians, abound in love toward one another. We should be drawing closer to one another all the time as a church. Now, he was talking to the Thessalonians. He's talking to this church. He's talking to every church. He's talking to other churches, drawing closer to other churches. But we should be drawing closer to one another. If we see grief or envy or something building up between two brothers or two sisters in Christ, then we need to stop. That's we're going the wrong way. Second Thessalonians, by our gathering together, be ye not shaken. That goes back to that temptation outside the world. Gathering together helps you live closer to God outside the world. You need church. 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's so easy in today's world, even as a Christian, to get money first, God second. That's the wrong order.
Right.
Nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing wrong with being loving to be rich. It's that desire to put desire money in front of everything else.
Right.
2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Always remember that. If it's in the Bible, it's because God put it there. God said it, not man. God said it. Yes, a man had to write it down. But God is able to control what was written in the Word of God.
Right.
Titus, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Again, we're different, peculiar. Now, if you call somebody, well, he's peculiar, ain't he? I hope he is if he's a Christian. Of course, we mean something different by it now, but the way that it was meant in this context is they're different. It says, zealous of good works. In other words, you're looking for something to do for God. We are to search for good works to do for God. And then Philemon. Paul says, put that on mine account. Wouldn't it be good to have such a Christian testimony that you could go up to another Christian and you say, you know what? I know this person done you wrong, but I know them. They've got saved now. They're a good Christian. And all that I've done for you, all that you know of me, if you would do it for me, how about doing it for them? How about doing it for them? But we've got to have a Christian influence before we can ask something like that. It's the right thing to do, don't get me wrong. Even if somebody doesn't ask, you know, do good for them. But do you have the influence where you could say that? Paul told me, he said, you know all that stuff I did for you? How about taking that and paying his account off with it? And Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So we need to know how to be Christ-like, because that is the only way that we can do step three. So we're going into step three. Step one, get saved. Step two, become Christ-like. Step three, tell more people about step one. Tell more people about step one. This is a command, eh? This is a command. So get saved is a gift. Become Christ-like is a process. And tell more people about step one is a command. It is a command, number one, given to all Christians. All Christians. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It is a command to tell other people about Christ. For all of us. A command, number two, a command to be followed by all. It's not a gift. So I didn't get the gift of soul winning. That's good, because I didn't either. Nobody did. It's not a gift. It's a command. Being saved is a gift. God didn't command and force everybody to get saved. That's a gift. But he gives you the gift, which gives you the power to be able to soul win. So we have that. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit living in us. That's the only gift you need to tell other people about Christ. It's not a gift. It's not a calling. You say, well, you're called to preach. You're the one that's supposed to do that. Well, they've got calling to be a Sunday school teacher. They've got calling to do that. They've got that calling on life. They've got that calling on life. I just don't have the calling of soul winning. It's not a calling. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. It is a command. We are commanded. God could have chose any way that he wanted to spread the gospel. And he did choose. He chose you. He saved you, and when he saved you, you were chosen to tell people about him. There's all kinds of lost people in the world that have all kinds of reasons not to get saved. And if you go soul winning, you're going to hear them. I've heard a lot. I'm sure there's many more I haven't heard. But there's all kinds of people that's got all kinds of reasons not to get saved, because the devil will keep supplying. If all you're doing is going out and arguing with somebody over why they should get saved, and they're arguing you why they've got a reason, every time you prove that one wrong, the devil will give them another one. It's going to take the convicting power of the Holy Spirit for them to be saved. Your job is to present the gospel to them.
Amen.
All kinds of circumstances that make it hard for people to come to church. Church is hard for the person walking through the doors afraid of judgment. Sometimes it's hard for somebody to walk through those doors because of something they've done in their past. Church is hard for the family, feeling like they're under the microscope of the entire church. Church is hard for the prodigal son returning home, broken and battered by the world. Church is hard for that girl that looks like she has it all together, but doesn't. Church is hard for the lovely couple that can no longer find a kind word to say to each other. Church is hard for the single mom looking at all the seemingly perfect children with a mother and a father. Church is hard for the widow or widower watching all the different families go out to eat together while thinking about their empty dining room. Church is hard for the man or woman with an estranged son or daughter. Church is hard for the person trying to sing worship songs overwhelmed by the weight of the lyrics. Church is hard for the man insecure with his role as a leader. Church is hard for the wife who longs to be led by a righteous man. Church is hard for a childless couple in their late 30s as they walk by the nursery. Church is hard for the teenage girl wearing a scarlet letter, ashamed of her mistakes. Church is hard for the teenage boy. With a baby in heaven that was never given the opportunity to see the light of day. Church is hard for the sinner. Now I ask you, am I talking about people outside the church, or am I talking about people inside the church? I can assure you that on any given day, any of those people could already be in here. Most of them are here right now. And we've got people outside the church thinking they don't want to come in because everybody here is different than them, but they're not different from them, they're just saved. They are both the same, except one has received the grace of God and the other has not. Some of you here today, before you came in this church, thought when you come through those doors that people were going to think they were better than you. There's going to be people in there that they've just had perfect lives, and they have perfect lives, and they don't know what I've been through. They're not going to understand me. They've not had it like I've had it. And then when you come in, if you were saved or get saved, and you stay here a while, you'll find out that they're just like you. We're just like the ones outside the church. The ones outside the church are just like the ones inside the church, except they're not saved. One needs to hear about the love of God, and the other needs to tell it. One is lost, and one was lost. One is searching in darkness, and the other needs to shine a light. Jesus is calling for one to come in and telling the other to go out. One needs to hear Jesus. One needs to listen to Jesus. The ones on the outside of the church need to come in and hear how much Jesus loves them. The ones on the inside of the church need to go out and tell the ones outside how much Jesus loves them. So I ask, what are we waiting for? We have a job to do. We've gotten saved. We've become Christ-like. And now we need to tell more people about Christ. Simple as it can be. 1, 2, 3. You can call it ABC if you want to, but it's 3 steps. And it's the same 3 steps for everybody. Why have we waited so long? Why did I wait so long? Why have you waited so long before we followed the 3rd step? It doesn't matter what your job is on the inside of the church. If you're not doing your job on the outside of the church, you're not doing your job. Your job is not that difficult. You hand someone a tract. Read this when you got time. Or, let me give you something. Let me give you an invitation to church. That's simple enough, isn't it? You go out on church-wide visitation. You knock on 20 doors. No one comes to the door. You knock on the next door. Hello, my name is Jimmy Money. I'm from Currytown Baptist Church. Door slams. You knock on the next door. May I help you? My name is Jimmy Money. I'm from Currytown Baptist Church. I'm just out today inviting people to church. Hand them a tract. Do you have a church home? Yes, I do. That's wonderful. Do you know you're on the way to heaven? I think so. Would you like to know you're going to heaven? I'm all right. Have a good day. You knock on the next door. My name is Jimmy Money. I'm from Currytown Baptist Church. How are you today? I'm just out inviting people to church. My name's John. Good to meet you. Hand track. Do you have a home church? No, not really. I would love you to come be my guest at Currytown. I might do that. John, do you know you're on your way to heaven? No, I'm sure I'm not. Would you allow me to show you from the Bible how to know you're going to heaven? Yeah, I think that'd be good. And you tell me what I said a while ago. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, John, that means that I'm a sinner. If you have somebody with you, that means that my brother here, he's a sinner. Or if you call their name, he's a sinner. And John, that also means that you're a sinner. Does that make sense? Oh, yeah. He'll say, yeah, I understand that. And John, now the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And the Bible also tells us that death is a second, what we call second death. It's not just flesh, but it's our soul dying eternally in hell. Is that understandable, John? He said, I think I understand what you're saying. But John, there's a book in the Bible called John. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God loves us. He doesn't want us to perish. And if we'll trust in him, we won't pay that second death. And the Bible also tells us something about that his Son Jesus, Romans 6:23. It says, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." So John, what I'm trying to say is we're all sinners and deserve to go to hell. And we have to die to do that, but Jesus has already done that. He died on the cross for our sins and shed his blood for our sins. John, do you believe that? Yes, I do. John, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And John, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." John, anybody can be saved. And if you call him, ask him to forgive you and save you, he'll take your sins away. And you won't have to die in that awful place called hell. He's already died for you. But you have to ask him, John. John, would you be willing to ask Jesus to forgive your sins and save you today? I just don't know if I'm ready for that. I just don't know. John, Jesus loves you. He will save you if you ask him to. Not today. Would you allow me to pray with you about salvation? That'll be fine. Lord, we come to you in prayer for John. Lord, I've explained to him what you said in your word, God, about being saved, about how your Son died on the cross and paid for his sins. And Lord, I've explained to him how to be saved, and he says he believes that's how to do it. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch his heart, and Lord, just help him to understand that he needs to be saved, and he's going to have to ask you to do it. And Lord, I pray you'd help him do that. You know, John, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. It's just not a good time. Please, John, I would just absolutely hate if you missed heaven. I just can't. You've done your job. You say, "We didn't get saved." That's not your job. Your job's to tell him. You told him. You pleaded with him. All through those, what I just gave you, from simply handing somebody a tract, all the way to leading them to the door of heaven, they have to ask. All that's your job. You say, "Well, I can't do all that." But you got to start somewhere. And I believe you can hand somebody a tract, or you can tell somebody that God loves them. Yeah. You can invite them to church. You can do that. Yeah. Get saved. Become Christ-like. Tell more people about Jesus. Which step are you at? As we play a song of invitation, we stand to our feet. If you're here today and you're saved, you need to ask yourself which step you're at. You're saved. You're becoming Christ-like. When you become Christ-like, as you are becoming Christ-like, you are to tell people about Christ. Maybe you're here today and I randomly use the name John, but whatever your name is, you've heard the gospel. As I explained it twice already, God loves you. He sent his Son to die for you. We're all sinners, and we all deserve to go to hell. But Christ loved us enough that he died for us, and he paid that debt. He died for us. And he will forgive us of our sins. He'll take all our sins away. If we'll ask him to, he'll save us. He'll become our Savior. He'll become our Lord if we'll ask him to, believing that he will. He'll do it. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, do we have one here today that would be willing to say, "I'm lost. I'm like that man, John, you talked about. I know I'm not going to heaven. I know I'm not going." Would you be willing, as in this story that I told about John, would you be willing to lift your hand for prayer and let me pray for you? I'm not going to come back there to you. But if you're here lost today, would you be willing to lift up your hand in prayer and pray for yourself? I see that hand. Is there someone else here today? I'm not saved. I would like for you to pray for me. We're going to do that in just a minute. We're going to pray for you.